AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Matt, Hunter in today.
Hello.
Back to back with Hunter here.
Back to back.
Good to see you, my friend. I want to just make a quick point out to everyone here. I just finished out a tenure in my local community on one of the local community boards. A lot of communities have a water board or a park board or a planning and zoning commission or something of that nature. And 4 years ago, I just decided, you know what? I want to do something for the community. And it wasn't always easy. I mean, Tuesday nights, once a month, I had to go over to this meeting. And sometimes these meetings went very long. Last night was a great example of that. It went quite a bit longer. But you're dealing with very important issues. Last night was my last meeting on this committee that I was part of. And I just want to actually encourage everyone out there that getting involved, I mean, we do the Democrat of the Day, we talk about this, but getting involved in your community is really easy. A lot of communities are desperate for people to volunteer to be part of, review committees or art committees or, you know, children's activities committees and stuff like that. So I highly encourage you. And Hunter, have you ever done anything like that before?
Let's see. I can't think of it right now. I'm very involved in the community.
I know you do a lot of stuff, and you do a lot of stuff with politics, but I mean, this is a very different thing because it really is the sausage making of your community. You know, you're out there dealing with water tables and parks and playgrounds and stuff like that. It was incredibly gratifying. So I'm going to encourage you to get involved in this because there is something about helping out your local community, which is a very big deal. That's why we also do Democrat of the Day. To 19A we go. Our Democrat of the Day is Jeff Brand, the DFL endorsed candidate down in 19A. He's kind enough to join us to talk about his campaign. Hi, Jeff. How are you, my friend?
Hi, Matt. Hi, Hunter. Good afternoon. How are you?
We're doing very well. Thank you very much for the time today. 19A, yes. Of course, St. Peter, North Mankato, too, correct?
That's correct. Right. A little sliver of Mankato and onwards to almost New Ulm.
And it's of course a district that, it's got great farming and great agriculture, but you also got those metro areas and the big colleges in there, too. So, you know, it is really a very eclectic district.
It is. It's a microcosm of greater Minnesota and Minnesota in general.
So let's get the story. Who is Jeff Brand?
So who is Jeff Brand? That is a good question. City council member here in St. Peter for the last 7 years. I'm also a business owner. My wife and I own a small business called Seed to Site, which is native plant restoration, native plant landscaping and prairie restoration. And I wanted to get involved in my community back in 2011, actually shortly before my first born was born. And since then, I've been involved in the community, and I've just loved the experience. You know, you talk about being on the board you were at. I started out in the Parks Board.
Yeah. And that's a lot of people don't know, Jeff. I mean, that's exactly how a lot of people get involved in politics, is they start off with a volunteer position on a community board, and the next thing you know, they're running for a city council or a mayor, and then it goes from there.
Yes, that's the way that a lot of people get elected, and it's a pretty neat process.
Your family business sounds fascinating. The restoration of traditional plants to the wildlife. That's something that we've started to see more of here. I imagine that's pretty successful for you because a lot of people want to do that prairie restoration.
Yeah, people are tired of mowing lawn. They also see the value in pollinators across the lawn or the landscape that they live in. And there's a lot of beauty in native plants. And some people thought of them as weeds in the past, and now they're thinking of them more in their value of being. So it's pretty cool to see that.
What's the name of the business once again, if anyone wants to give a call down there? Cause that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. Seed to Site.
Seed to Site. Got it. We'll make sure I put that out there as well a little bit later on, but getting back to your race for 19A, what this time around made you say, you know what, enough's enough. I'm running for the house.
Well, we have a wonderful and terrific representative right now. His name is Clark Johnson. He's been doing this for 6 years. He's done a phenomenal job for us, and we've got a great history of local representation that's really done a lot for the people in this district. And the opportunity was there. I felt like this was a great opportunity to do something, to step up. And, you know, it's a good time to get involved because there are a lot of issues that at the legislature they're failing to address, and I believe that I bring a perspective that's necessary at the legislature to talk about the things that are important to a lot of people like myself.
Is Clark decided not to run again?
Yeah, he decided not to run in the first part of January before the session started.
Mm-hmm. And he has been a recognizable name down there, and a name that he has done a lot to say, I'm here for rural Minnesota, but I'm not just some Republican light. I'm a Democrat who loves rural Minnesota. And he brought that impression right into the Minnesota House. He did a great job with that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. He has done a great job, and he's been there for us, and he's really stood by and said, this is greater Minnesota. This is an issue that matters to us. How do we get this talked about? How do we pass a bill that specifically helps us?
You know, as you talk about the Republicans, and especially how they treated outstate, I was just reading about the veto of the ag bill. And I imagine you saw that the Republicans have put a poison pill in there to where they basically said if the governor didn't sign off on the ag bill, that they're going to undo the nitrate standards in the water groundwater supply around the state of Minnesota, which seems so Bond villain to me. You know, it seems like sign the paper, Mr. Dayton, or we're going to poison all of Minnesota. You know, there seems to be a level of that. I would just like to see an ag bill where there isn't A, jammed with pork, B, jammed for Republican districts only with, you know, for gimmies for them. And, you know, that looks at as your life is there, looking at a better way of looking at the environment that is embracing of the natural landscape as well as the agricultural community. I you know, that's one of the problems that we're missing right now. We're missing a common sense ag policy in the state of Minnesota because Republicans are so agenda driven.
Well, you know, I grew up on a farm. I grew up on a dairy farm in rural Wright County. And so, you know, it's a difficulty for a lot of farmers right now. They've had 5 years of weather conditions that didn't really help them produce crops. Crop prices are low. Policies are stacking up on them that are unfunded. And I understand why farmers are upset. I know my grandfather, if he were still alive, would be upset too, and I can understand why. Even though he was a Democrat his entire life, I can understand why a lot of folks would be upset. You know, that said, I think we need to go back to basics in government and clean bills, one at a time, thoughtfully driven, with the idea that it's going to actually make a difference in people's lives. And I think that's where we need to head. And if that means a total changeover in who's in the legislature, I'm all for representing myself in that and bringing that next wave of people that actually want to be thoughtful and actually do want to impact people's lives for the better.
Is there an issue, obviously talking about, you know, common sense ag policy, one bill at a time, which that would be nice. We actually weigh the merits of the individual bill. But right. What other issues are important to you as you're looking at representing 19A?
Well, you talked about agriculture, and one of the things that I noticed when I talked to farmers is the amount of cost they have to pay for their health care premiums. You know, there was a very common sense idea floating around the legislature for the last 2 years. Clark Johnson has been the House leader on it, and it didn't even receive one single hearing, and that was a Minnesota Care buy-in, which would compete against people that would purchase on the markets, you know, and that would be a government option. They'd still have to pay full freight. By God, they wouldn't be paying $30,000 for their premium. They'd be paying a lot less. And that wasn't even something that was received by the leadership in a form that would actually allow for a hearing. And I think that's disappointing. That's an issue that I'd like to see. Also, child care. Right now, Greater Minnesota, there was at one time, in the last 10 years, 11,500 slots, or 11,500 providers, rather, with 30,000 slots. That has actually diminished to about 8,500 providers, mm-hmm. when we've lost about 15,000 slots. Well, there's a combination of that. Part of it is regulation, and part of it is also, man, it just costs a lot of money to pay for health care or for child care. And at the end of the day, if I'm a parent and I'm making $25,000, and 12,000 of that goes to daycare, why don't I just stay home and take care of my kids for 4 years until they get to go to school? And that's an issue I would really like to discuss at the Capitol. I'd like to find some solutions there. But I don't want it to be a political issue. I don't want it to be a political football. because I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican. Those are issues that impact everybody's daily life.
Affordable child care, affordable health care. That's not a DNR. That's just humanity. And it's what's interesting is let's tie this back to the ags policy you're talking about. You know, average farmer is making $26,000 a year. When you don't have, and that's after all the work, which is an incredibly amount, a hard amount of work. That's a lot of labor, and they're only clearing $26,000. And it doesn't help that we have a foreign policy right now that seems to be driving our soybean crops to foreign countries, which is a bad, bad sign. But then you have to look at this, and you're right. Say you're a married couple on the farm. You're only making $26,000. You want that other person to be able to go on out and get another job, maybe someplace. But if daycare costs are that expensive, you're tying their hands. Healthcare the same way. You know, it's having those high premiums. You know, you're just gobbling up their entire annual profit, and that's not thanking the farmers who are doing a job which is incredibly tough and does not pay a lot. There should be that option, I believe, statewide for sure, but definitively in the ag community, for the farmers, the ability for them to get cheap, state-backed health insurance that will not bankrupt them.
And that's within their network. They don't have to go to the Twin Cities to get the same coverage they could get at home. They don't have to drive 2 hours to get coverage.
Absolutely. And that's another big problem, too. Or just if you're on the west side of your district, having to drive down to Mankato. Something local, having those local options. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yep, and I think that's good government. Those discussion points you just made, that would be what I'm for. And that's part of what I think a good government provides people. And a leg up without offering a handout, giving them the ability to continue to do what they're doing, pass along that farm to the next generation so the next generation can get involved in the same heritage farm that the family's held for the last four generations. That's really what I would like to focus on.
And I want to point out something to all Democrats who are listening right now. Jeff just did something there. I want to point this out and give you a lot of kudos on this. Tim Walz does this sometimes. Paul Wellstone did this, is that you're pointing out something which is just a definitive. It's not about, you know, a Democrat or Republican. I want affordable child care. I want affordable health care. Here are the options on the table. And basically say, what's your options? Because here's my option, and I'd like to give this a try. And it puts Republicans in a real corner because they don't want this. They don't really want to deal with child care. They don't want to deal with health care. They don't want to deal with education or broadband. They just don't want to deal with it. And so by putting them and taking those kitchen table issues and really saying, you know, I'm a Democrat. I'm for these things. You want these. I'm not for these things because I'm a Democrat. I'm for these things because I'm a human being. Here's my solution. Where's the Republican solution? I think that's the most important thing when it comes down to presenting that Democratic message. I don't care if you're in the biggest city or in the smallest town. That's how you sell the DFL.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's the way forward. You look at the group of people that are running now for the first time as well as a DFLer. And I can't speak to the Republicans because I don't know any of those people that are running personally. But I've got to know some of the people on the Democratic side. They've got spouses. They've got children. At the end of the day, they don't want to stay there until midnight and then the last day to get stuff done. They've got kids and families at home. I think what you're going to find is if you start electing some of these younger folks to the Capitol, we're going to get stuff done on time. We're going to do stuff that's actually going to affect people's lives in a positive way. And I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to serving in the legislature.
You've heard me make this pitch before, people. Help your local DFLer by all means, but then pick four or five DFLers around the state. Go give them a hand this summer. Volunteer, donate. Brandforhouse.org, correct?
That's right. That's it.
Jeff Brand, it's brandforhouse.org, 19A, just a little southwest of the metro. You can head on down there, give him a hand this summer, and let's make sure that we hold 19A in the Democratic column. Jeff, thank you very much. I really appreciate the time.
I appreciate it as well. Thank you very much.
Democrat of the day is Jeff Brand, 19A. We'll take a break. Come on back. I got to get to the vetoes, and I got to get to the NFL story. And then we got Jeff Stein coming up in just a little bit. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Hello. Hello, friends. I've been talking to you about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens, Minnesota's first green cemetery dedicated to celebrating life and protecting our environment. One of the many wonderful things they have is something called the Living Urn. Ashes are buried in an urn with seedlings, ultimately coming back to life as a glorious tree. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Why don't you log on to the website, mngreengraves.com. Learn more about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. See if it might be something that's meaningful for you.
It's a great day for a bike ride. What's that? You can't find your bike? Oh, it has a flat. No problem. Take it to Nokomis Cycle, the hardest working bike shop in town. They're celebrating their 23rd year in business. In that time, they've mastered the art of friendly, dependable service. So keep life and your bike moving with Nokomis Cycle, working harder to make you go faster. Nokomis Cycle at the corner of 46th and Bloomington Avenue South in Minneapolis or at NokomisCycle.com.
Someone asked if I really do love my Rudy Luther Toyota Sienna as much as I say I do. Well, this week I've got groceries, a Target run, 7 sports practices with carpooling for 4 of them, 2 games, 3 music lessons, 4-H, dance, helping a friend move. We'll also probably have 3 play dates. I'll have to drive to work and I'll have at least 1 weekend family outing. Yes, it's a lot, but I get to do it all in relaxing comfort and style. Yes, I do love my Sienna, and you can fall in love for yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Jeff Brand, 19A, Democrat of the day today. Let's hold that seat. Let's hold that seat, people. And I'm always amazed when I talk to someone like Jeff, and he's like, yeah, no, it's, you know, the cost of farming is too expensive. We have to have cheaper daycare. Who can argue with that? You know, when Republicans only care about these corporate farms, which are massive multi-million dollar operations and not the mom and pop farm that's basically struggling to get by, this is why you can, this is why the Democratic message can sell in every district in this state, period. And good for you, Jeff. You keep fighting the good fight. So it's time for veto update. Veto, 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 veto. All right. Veto update for today. Governor Mark Dayton followed through Wednesday on his promise to veto a major work of the legislature of the session, taking down the tax bill with money for public schools as well as massive spending for a policy measure. I love how the Star Tribune writes this story in a very pro-Republican point of view. Star Tribune, shame on you. You're writing about Governor Dayton vetoing the bill. Why don't you start, instead of trying to badmouth him for vetoing the bill, talking about what were his justifications for vetoing the bill? Instead, we of course have them pushing Republican talking points before they even get to the point where he, get to why Dayton vetoed the bill. The tax bill went down, as well as the, you know, the omnibus prime bill, put powerful special interests, multinational corporations ahead of the rich of Minnesota school kids and families. The two measures together comprised a major portion of the work product of the 2018 legislative session, which ended late Sunday. Dayton had promised the vetoes in the hours leading up to the end of session. But Republicans have been doing a smoke and mirrors, you know, theater show to try to basically convince him that it wouldn't not to do it. Dayton has said the tax bill benefits multinational corporations and accused lawmakers of favoring special interest groups over average Minnesotans. I am vetoing this bill because it is a misguided priorities that give tax cuts to corporations and the wealthy over the education of our children, Dayton said in his veto letter. In the final weeks of the session, Dayton focused on securing $138 million in emergency funding for school districts, and we're facing budget gaps. Lawmakers did not take that funding approach, and he wanted instead allowing Minnesotans to access. Basically, they said you could take money from, you know, Peter, you know, rob Peter to pay Paul sort of thing. And that was their solution. They weren't going to give him $138 million. Although if one corporation, would a Republican given a $138 million tax credit to a large corporation in the state by itself if they had asked for it? Probably. But he asked for it for all the kids in the state of Minnesota. The heck with that. Needless to say, the smoke and mirrors solution the Republicans came up with did not count. The tax plan and the nearly 1,000-page spending and policy bill that Dayton also vetoed did include many measures Dayton supports. The budget bill deducted millions of dollars to an opiate addiction treatment and to fix the state's problematic vehicle licensing registration system. It included some small changes to the state regulation of elder care facilities following stories of elder abuse. Although critics call those measures toothless, the number of disparate policy and spending proposals crammed into the bill irked the governor, who found 117 items that he opposed in the supplemental budget bill. Legislators attempted to work through those concerns in the final days of the session and said they'd removed more than half the obstructionable items. Still awaiting the final decision on Dayton is the Public Works Bill, and the bill, which has not been threatened with a veto and would be backed by $825 million in general obligation bonds, is For another $675 million would come from another account, fund repairs and roads, but there is no money at all for transit, which has got a lot of Democrats up in the air. I'm sorry, Governor, go for the trifecta. Get that bonding bill too. And the reason why is that why are we passing bills where the majority of the population of the state doesn't get a real benefit with transit in the metro area? Because in a state of 5.5 million people, 3.5 million people live in the metro area, which means, and that's just the main Twin Cities, not including Duluth or Rochester or St. Cloud. And so you would think that we'd have some money for transportation, but no, they don't want to do that at all. So I would veto the bonding bill too, personally. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I did also want to make sure I mentioned, I'll probably get into this with Jeff as well. Shame on the NFL. The hell with you people. What is wrong with you? I get it. A lot of you guys that own these NFL teams are Republicans. I get it. But Donald Trump was doing Dictator 101 and vilified black people who dare to speak their mind by kneeling, quietly kneeling, on a football field during the national anthem to protest racial violence and racial injustice in America. They weren't doing anything, that it was their right. We have a thing called freedom of speech, but because you freaking NFL owning cowards, you cowards, cowing down to Donald Trump. First of all, let's just cut the crap, you whiny bastards. If this was NFL players protesting Hillary Clinton, this would not have been put forward. No one would have put forward this solution that you guys came up with, period. You wouldn't. You would be applauding their rights to freedom of speech. Absolutely. But because it's black people, oh, no, we got a problem. So the rules are now that black people in the NFL and the white people that want to protest racial injustice as well, they can do so, but they've got to stay in the locker room so no one can see them. Seriously. The black people have to go and protest in private so they don't hurt the white people's eyes. Seriously. What the hell's wrong with you people? Then if you do kneel on the field, it's a 15-yard penalty. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to get the coaches to start chewing out players for kneeling for freedom of speech. That's what this whole thing is about. It's either, hey, you can go protest, but just do it out of sight so no one sees it, which is, once again, you guys do not understand what the term protest means, do you? But then on top of that, it's this whole thing where, well, coaches, if you don't want to start the game 15 yards deep in your end zone, well, then I'd get those players in line, coaches. You're cowards. You're all freaking cowards. And you thought that a few whiny Trump fans were hurting your margins? Wait until the rest of this country boycotts your freaking games, you spineless bastards. And seriously, you're going to be undoing this policy as quickly as you possibly can. Because I'm not watching a game. I'm not watching, listening, not going to watch highlights. I'm not. Because this is un-American. As you wrap yourselves in an American flag and talk about how this is America, this is great, this is red, white, and blue. Now get those robots in here dancing so we can do our red, white, and blue stances. You're doing something undeniably anti-American in denying people the right to protest. And what a stupid freaking protest for you to get so upset about. They want to kneel quietly on the sidelines. Fine. You really want to do this? You're that stupid? And by the way, the Players Association says they've not seen anything about this. They promised they're going to sue. But no. Grow a spine and tell the orange chimpanzee to basically back off. I'm tired of this crowd about, you know, there is an argument that said the undermining of the American system is not going to happen with a parade and fireworks. It's going to happen slowly and methodically, and it's stuff like this that shows you that America is being irreparably damaged and we won't be able to come back from it if we allow this to go too much further. That we are going to start outlawing freedom of speech and right to protest. That we'll get rid of the free press. We're already getting rid of a lot of other American institutions because racism, basically. Now the NFL is telling the players, hey, if you're black and you're upset, stay in the back room. We don't want to hear from you. 952-946-6205. Jim in St. Paul, you'll have to call back tomorrow because I got the Steiner coming up here. We got to get into politics with him. Jeff Stein, when we do return, it is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Matt from the Green Home Doctors. Did you know approximately 80% of our homes in our area are not sealed and insulated properly? A typical home has air leakage equivalent to that of a large open window. Green Home Doctors has treated thousands of homes with their special diagnostic equipment and can prescribe the appropriate remedy for your house. Stop air conditioning your whole neighborhood this summer. Call today and take advantage of rebates from Xcel Energy and CenterPoint Energy. Visit greenhomedr.com.
Hi, Gregory Rich, host of Drink in the Style and owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design in St. Louis Park. I've got a question for you guys. Are you familiar with the concept of OPM, or other people's money? It's essentially using someone else's cash to buy what you want. Well, this week, Habitation is offering you a chance to use someone else's money to buy the furniture you want today. From May 23rd through May 29th, Habitation is offering 0% interest on all new in-stock and all special order items for a full 4 years. Seriously, that's 4 years of free financing. Zero, zip, nada, nothing. That means you can buy $5,000 worth of furniture for about $100 a month with absolutely no interest. So come out to Habitation at 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park to check out the coolest furniture showroom in town. Our prices are always great, but this financing deal is for a limited time only. Habitation Furnishing and Design. You've earned the right to be you. Some restrictions apply.
This is Pat with PJW Automotive. AM 950 listeners know I've been a big supporter of the station. I'm also a job creator. I've assembled a team of the highest quality technicians to ensure our reputation continues to grow. After all, a job creator is simply someone who responds to customer demand. That demand has remained strong at PJW because we deliver quality the first time around. See why it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. One exit north of 694 on 35W and online at pjwauto.com.
Kevin Ross here, inviting you to our brand new store called Ambibulous. What does Ambibulous mean? It means one who enjoys alcoholic beverages of all sorts. Ambibulous is a Minnesota maker's market. Unlike traditional liquor stores, we feature only craft beer, wine, and spirits made here in Minnesota. We are ready to guide your selections, where you can build your own 4 or 6 packs. Find us at 949 Hennepin Avenue East in Northeast Minneapolis or online at ambibulousmn.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly sunny skies today with a high near 85. Tonight, a slight chance for rain with a low around 69. Thursday, partly cloudy with a high near 90. And Friday, partly sunny with a high around 91. Stay cool this summer by having the Green Home Doctor weatherize your home. They're passionate about the environment both in and outside your home. The Green Home Doctor doesn't use subcontractors, and they even help you get rebates from Xcel and CenterPoint. So get started towards a more comfortable home by visiting greenhomedr.com.
I cannot for the life of me believe the NFL. And they tried to kind of do this quietly. Oh, I'm not mistaken. I'm probably imagining that in the first game of the season, the entire NFL is going to take a knee on the field. And then what do? Offsetting penalties? I mean, that's what they're going to hope. They're going to hope some coach is out there saying, oh, you're not here to protest, and going to force their team to stand. And if they do, and then basically, they're hoping that will start we don't want to start the game 15 yards down. Hey, I'll take the field goal. But you know what, the truth is, I'm not going to watch your product. I mean, if you have got that little of a spine that you're going to cave to a Donald Trump when he just basically he turned black NFL players into villains and you eagerly went along with that. Shame on you. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. A bad waitress is the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. 700 Central Avenue, Northeast Minneapolis, growing up then in Sister on Nicollet. Great food over there. The chicken and waffles are fantastic. The bangers and mash as well. Stop on by. They buy organic and local. 700 Central Avenue, Northeast Minneapolis. TheBadWaitress.com is the website. Jeff Stein is our national and presidential expert. He's a noted author. You can find his books at Common Good Books in St. Paul, totallyiowa.com. iowawatch.org is the website for his public service show, which is exceptional down in Iowa. And of course, he joins us from the Palatial Broadcasting Complex of KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Jeff, are you there?
On chemtrails, the jets above.
All right, we'll get something going on there. We're chemtrails. Uh-oh. not the chemtrails. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Should we give it another shot there? All right. Okay, 1 second. All right. Well, we're working on that. 952-946-6205. I will mention here Tommy Lauren, the Fox News right wing harpy that basically was in town. She did a gig on Saturday, and she had water poured on her. Jeff, are you there with me right now?
I am indeed. Good afternoon, Matthew.
What was the chemtrails guy?
I don't know. I've missed this whole thing. All I know now, though, is that the president is tweeting great support of Tommy Lauren, which, did we really need to inflate her ego and career any further?
Oh, I think that's number four. He's looking for the complete set at this point. I think he's got his eye on her. I did not. For the record, Jeff, I did not pour the water on her. Although people did point out that is a wildly popular restaurant with the gay community. So almost wondering, was Tommy trying to get something like that to happen to her over there? I don't know. But, she.
Are you saying it's a Morgan?
Wait, what? Did we lose him again? There he is.
Do you remember when Morton Downey Jr., who was the radio and TV crazy guy, yelling at everybody, and he said that Nazis attacked him in an airport and drew a swastika on him, and it all unraveled because he had done it to himself, but he did it backwards because he was doing it in the mirror.
Yeah.
I mean, are you putting this whole thing on? Ay, ay, ay.
Well,
I must tell you, when I heard that she got hit with a drink at a Minneapolis restaurant, I thought of you, but I know that you do not waste good alcohol, and so therefore you would not have thrown the drink.
I would not. Well, I mean, if it was like a special export or something like that, she's done. But I mean, so yeah, you're right. One of our fine microbrews here in the Twin Cities. Never. Okay.
Never happening.
Let's talk about something that is scary to a point. And I was talking about the NFL story where they're now putting in a penalty because they're just trying to appease Trump. But I want to go back to Trump demanding, I mean, because he is really seeing Mueller get closer and closer to him, he is desperately trying to turn what the FBI was trying to determine. So remember, George Papadopoulos gets drunk in a London bar and blabs to the Australian diplomat. Oh, we know I'm in the Trump campaign, and we know that the Russians have all this Hillary Clinton stuff. To which immediately the Australians, who are our allies, comment, hey, I had a funny conversation. To which immediately the FBI was like, okay, how much has the Trump campaign been compromised? And they did not send an FBI agent per se, but they sent an informant that has worked with the FBI to approach George Papadopoulos under the guise of for $3,000, they wanted him to write a paper in Russia. And that's the extent of the conversation. Trump has taken that. By the way, there was clearly enough contact between the Trump campaign and the Russians to warrant the FBI starting to wonder how much the campaign had been compromised. That is undeniable. Carter Page, numerous other people, Jeff Sessions. I mean, there was numerous people that had been compromised. Now Trump is trying to turn this into, there is a full-blown spy operation on his campaign alone. One slight problem, he did win. And so I don't know if he's trying to expose the worst spy case of all time, but he really is trying to push. He's getting closer to dictator 101 at this point with this attempt to make up a fraudulent, case, and then trying to send, people to go after what he's calling his now perceived enemies.
Well, now again, the idea, if there was surveillance, even though he won, it's a matter of, okay, did this feed investigation? Should it have been done? I mean, it's a whole different issue. But here's the thing. Let's say there was somebody conducting surveillance and they found stuff. That doesn't mean that nobody's going to be charged and nobody's going down, because even if it was inappropriate for somebody to be undercover like that, when they find stuff, well, what are you supposed to, you can't blame the messenger when you're the one who did the wrongdoing.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, you and I talked briefly about this. There was the Senate majority leader in the state of Iowa was caught on video, frankly, making out with a female lobbyist in a bar, and he had to resign very quickly, and a lot of the people on the Republican side said, well, he was set up, because how did these people just happen to have, cell phone video? Well, I don't care if he was set up. He walked right into the trap if it was a trap. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter, for Trump to say that, this was, it was dirty pool and there was a spy ring and all that. Well, if there was something to see, then it's still wrongdoing. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, from a legal standpoint, there's fruit of the poisonous tree, et cetera, et cetera. I get that. But if there was nothing illegal about the surveillance and they found stuff, there's nothing you could do to complain about it except say, dang it, we got outsmarted and got caught.
And this also goes in conjunction with, just since the last time we talked, you've always said it's the dominoes closest to Trump that have to start following that's right. Going to be the real right. deal here. How about four of them? We've got Manafort's now, his former son-in-law is going to work with the Mueller investigation to basically turn on him. Roger Stone's partner has now turned on him, and now he's starting to hand over stuff because he's realizing the gig is up for him. Michael Cohen's partner bailed on him and now is going to be testifying against Michael Cohen. And now you also have Don Jr., who, after the Senate intelligence findings, you really do get the impression at this point that if this was a normal government right now, if this was any kind of normalcy, there would be an investigation into Don Trump Jr. just off the fact that we know that he was meeting with a Russian agent at Trump Tower in May of 2016 to get dirt on Hillary Clinton. No one denies any of this. This is all known facts. And so the fact that there isn't an investigation is only by the benevolence of the Republican Party, who are basically saying, please just somehow win in November, just ignore this, and then we can wag our fingers and act outraged for the next 2 years and hope that we can survive 2020.
Well, now, who would do the investigation? Who's supposed to be doing this investigation of Junior?
Well, I would presume it'd be one of the Department of Justice would do it under the guidance.
Okay, but this is what I'm getting at. Okay, I just want to make sure I understood. How do we know what Mueller's investigating?
Yeah.
This could be part and parcel of it, because if in fact the mandate was Russian collusion, well, a meeting with the Russians by the namesake son of the candidate, I mean, I assume that that's all part of it. Your point about the dominoes, you're right, that's what I've been saying. How can they break through the insulation? I don't think I told you this last week because I can't remember if it had happened at that point, but I interviewed Roger Stone for my radio program.
Okay.
And
wow.
I asked him, I mean, I, you know, they say you want to talk to Roger Stone. I said, well, yes, why wouldn't you? You know, and he wanted to talk about his book, which has to do with how to dress well. I mean, it's literally tips for success on, you know, the kind, how far out your cuffs should be from your suit coat sleeve. Literally, that's in the book. But I thought, what the heck? Let's talk about Mueller. And this was before the associates started, there were some rumblings. And my question very much was, do you feel you're going to get caught up in this? And he said, there's nothing, you know, there's nothing to see here. There's no collusion. He has no problem with any investigation. He welcomed investigation. Okay, that was on maybe Thursday of last week, maybe Wednesday. I can't recall. All of a sudden, then subpoenas come out for his aides, and all of a sudden, his new statement is, I fully expect to be indicted. Well, okay. I mean, that seems a little different in tone. Now, does he say, Matt, I expect to be indicted because this is a rigged deal, et cetera, and it's a witch hunt? No, he just said, I expect to be indicted. All righty then. Thanks so much. Mm-hmm. And if the investigators are listening, yes, I do have a tape of the interview. But the closer, again, the circle gets, and, you know, when you get the, when I heard it was the ex-son-in-law, I didn't care who it was. Mm-hmm. Anybody who, ex-son-in-law, there is not a lot of love lost there. And when it was ex-son-in-law of Manafort, I thought, okay, that's the pinch. That's the one they're going to squeeze, and that's the one that's going to get things to start rolling. Because, see, they've got to get to Manafort himself. Well, how do you get to Manafort? Maybe it's a son-in-law. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is where it is getting more and more interesting, and then you've got Rudy the Saint Giuliani coming out saying, oh, they could have it wrapped up by September 1st if we do an interview. Okay, thank you for, you know, running interference for that side. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is while this all is going on and it's very important, I'm not in any way diminishing any of what we've talked about for the last 20 minutes, but look at the public policy stuff that is still happening. And it has to do with North Korea, and it has to do with farm bills and immigration and everything else. That's the stuff we need to also be not forgetting in this whole thing, because that's the stuff that all of it impacts us. But holy cow, in this part of the world, farm bill going down because of a fuss about immigration, that's big stuff. And where's the White House leadership on any of it?
Trump went after China on tariffs. China basically said, we're not going to do it. Trump loses there. Trump now is out saying NAFTA is probably not going to be renegotiated because Canada and Mexico are not willing to give us the farm, technically, on that. I mean, and then there's the other policies too. But I do want to say, let's talk about the fact of, so let's just say all of them go. Stone, Cohen, Manafort, and Trump Jr. Now it becomes that the reason why Trump, I think, is getting more and more belligerent is it becomes kind of a political game of Twister, where it's, you know, Jeff Cohen or, you know, Michael Cohen's arm is on a yellow while Donald Trump Jr.'s leg is on a red, and where the connections start coming in, because let's face it, that's the real trouble for Trump, is that probably there is a lot of overlap here. And even if one or two of these guys is, you know, starting to get charges and they're getting indicted, then all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to see where that attack's going to come from, because there's going to be a lot of points that they can come at him in that direction.
And Stone's toupee is on green. Yeah, it's he's done some of these interviews, by the way, wearing a snappy little hat. And I think to myself, I don't know. I'm just a cruel person. No, the more of these, if you're the prosecutor building the case, okay, you do not want to go after a major figure. I don't care if it's political. I don't care if it's mafia. All right. And I don't mean to make a connection. I'm just saying you've got to make sure that you don't just have one path. You have multiple paths. Because, again, as a lawyer, I have seen cases that appeared to be rock solid fall apart at trial because a witness did not testify as expected. And that happens for a variety of reasons, not all of them nefarious. So if one person is willing to roll, that is not going to be good enough. They are going to have multiple people who provide that direct pathway to the president himself. The thing that is interesting is how that part plays out. And I think I have enough time to say, you know, it is true. Most interpretations at the Justice Department would square with the fact that you cannot indict a sitting president. That Mueller appears to believe that. But what he can do is to indict everybody around him, name the president as an unindicted co-conspirator, and have a report that is chapter and verse tailor-made for impeachment whenever somebody wants to use it. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that some people are waiting to see Trump let out of the White House in handcuffs on the ultimate perp walk, you're probably not going to get that, but you ultimately will get the same thing if it's in a report or he's an indicted co-conspirator, and that's where it goes through other channels, through Congress, should the majority flip in November.
And I've always said the same thing, is that if you get to a point where they want us to take a look at Trump's taxes, I think he'll resign himself. I think he'll walk out and just say, the deal is I won't show you my taxes, but I'll leave and I'll be done. And I think that that's a far more likely scenario, I think, in the long run, that he'll just want to keep his secrets. When we do come on back, we're going to take a break here. Twitter, there's a legal ruling that he cannot block anyone on Twitter, which is pretty funny. And also, I want to mention Betsy DeVos and the NFL, because those stories coming up as well. Jeff Stein, our national guy, joining us today, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Tom Hartman here telling you that solar energy isn't just for environmentalists. Switching to all-energy solar is actually perfect for reducing your carbon footprint while also saving money on your monthly electric bill. The fact that solar panels cause no earth-harming emissions while it's producing energy is a bonus. Who in the world could object to that? But they can also help you save money month after month for decades. And they do it with a clean footprint. So go green and start saving money today by visiting allenergysolar.com.
Would you or your organization like to become better storytellers? The Uptake can help. Learn from the best teachers in Minnesota when it comes to writing, photography, audio documentary, or live video streaming. I'm personally teaching the live video classes. We're offering classes on Saturdays in June. There's a charge, but there's a discount for students and low-income people. Space is limited, so register now at theuptake.org/classes. That's theuptake.org/classes and learn to storytell like a pro.
Hello, fellow AM 950 listeners. This is Jaja from Nightingale at 26 Lindale. My wife and chef Carrie and I invite you to enjoy our local seasonal fare, along with thoughtfully chosen wine and beer lists, a refreshing cocktail selection, and continued dedication to outstanding service. Nightingale's freshly remodeled patio is perfect for dinner, happy hour, brunch, and late night fun. We offer our full menu every day from 4 to 1 a.m., two award-winning daily happy hours, and weekend brunch at 10. More at nightingalempls.com.
Guaranteed life insurance. What if there was such a thing? And what if coverage was guaranteed with no medical exam? And what if this guaranteed life insurance had rates that would never increase and benefits that would never decrease? And what if we could qualify even with health issues such as diabetes? And what if this guaranteed life insurance could never be canceled unless we didn't pay our premium, of course? Well, there is such a thing. Although you may not qualify for every policy, it's guaranteed life insurance for U.S. citizens between 50 and 80. I'm a paid spokesperson and not an insurance specialist, and coverage isn't guaranteed in all states, so call now and talk with a licensed insurance company. Guaranteed life insurance with no medical exam. Isn't that something? Some policies could have changes, limitations, exclusions, and terms, so call now for details. 1-800-591-5592. That's 1-800-591-5592. Again, 1-800-591-5592.
950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Matt McNeil, Jeff Stein on a Wednesday. Jeff, federal judge rules that Trump cannot block people on Twitter because that's official presidential communication, and henceforth, he has to keep it open to everyone.
Isn't that hilarious? It's not just the president, but there were some lower-level officials who, again, they wanted to use the Twitter machine, and then they didn't want to have the two-way interaction, so they blocked people from following them. Well, that's no different than, oh, wait for it, blocking reporters from going to an EPA event.
Yes.
Oops, I guess they did that too. And this stuff about, well, we just didn't have enough chairs in the room, and they knew that could, oh, please, yeah. Just stop.
Well, when you're grabbing the AP guy and chucking him out the door, that's not, oopsie, we don't have enough chairs.
The thing is, it's not like anybody would hear about it. Because they're reporters, for crying out loud.
Well, no one, you bring up a valid point. This is a sad time in our America. They could go, no one's going to read about this chemical awareness EPA meeting. They don't really care about the real news, but you gave them the story they wanted when you start grabbing reporters and chucking them out by their throats. I mean, that's the problem. Same thing. Let's go to Betsy DeVos. Go ahead.
So let me tell you, if a reporter gets thrown out of a meeting, does the story get told? It's like a tree falling in the forest and no one there to hear it. Go ahead, Betsy DeVos.
It's Betsy DeVos. How about this one? I mean, well, first of all, it's comical. She still has yet to go to a public school. I mean, it's tragically comical, but it just seems to be outright refusing to go to the most common school in America, the public school. And it's not even close. It's by far the most popular school in America. But now she has basically said that she doesn't have a problem if a school decides to call ICE, the immigration and customs enforcement agents, and calls them on kids in school, which is that's now we're starting to go down into that ugly path.
Well, she may not have a problem with it, but there are certain confidentiality things that may get in the way of it. It seems to me she tried to go to one public school and there was a protest and she never made it to the door and then just said, okay, I'm not coming back. Well, that's the stick to it spirit that we want in our education system, isn't it?
Well, and it's just this idea. She is one of the most, she is brilliantly, obtuse when it comes to the idea of, she doesn't understand when she says stuff, what she's really saying. She doesn't understand that she has a lot of impact every time she says, oh, sure, if ICE wants to come in, the school can let them happen. Wait a minute, you're the Secretary of Education. You just can't just throw that out there.
Well, but look at her boss.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's set the table for that. You say, you're the president. You can't exactly call a foreign leader Rocket Man. Oh, yeah, watch me.
Yeah.
And off you go.
And finally, your quick thoughts on the NFL. They basically have caved to Trump and basically told the black players who want to protest to stay in the locker room until we tell you to come on out.
They're so afraid of losing their antitrust exemption. I mean, yes, Trump has been the one that's pushed this, but every opportunistic politician in the majority in Washington has been along for the ride on pushing it. And so nothing gets to an NFL owner's heart quicker than grabbing for their wallet. And that's all this is about. And it's just a complete about face. And let's see if the Players Association says, well, that's nice, but that's not in the collective bargaining agreement. Let's open it all up and then see what they do.
And just really quickly here, would you imagine if players were protesting Hillary Clinton, kneeling to protest Hillary Clinton at the national anthem? Do you think the NFL would be even approaching this idea, or are they just saying, hey, freedom of speech, we can't do anything?
Oh, I think if it were an individual, that's a whole different level. I don't look at this as them protesting Trump by kneeling. And so I can't draw the analogy. I think the NFL is concerned about the antitrust, Trump be darned, because frankly, they just get more attention with him talking about him.
Jeff Stein, the Floppy Show is at, of course, at Common Good Books in St. Paul, TollyIowa.com as well. Go get his latest book there. Jeff, thank you very much. We will post this a little bit later on. And of course, we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you, Jeff. Jeff Stein joining us on our usual Wednesday visit. Mike McAtee up next. You have a wonderful Wednesday. It's gorgeous out there. Till tomorrow. See ya.